What is Peace Brain? Peace Brain is the synergistic connection between our mental and emotional bodies, blending the electrical power of the mind with the magnetic force of the heart. Listen and explore how to create unity worldwide as we blend science and metaphysics and open our hearts and minds to the possibilities of peace on Earth and create the life we are each destined for. Featured guests range from angel communicators to zoologists and everything in between. Now here is your host, Dr. Gail Lash.
Hello and welcome. This is your host, Dr. Gail Lash, and you are listening to the Peace Brain Show on BBS Radio, and I'm so happy to have you here today. Today I'm very excited. We're going to be talking about climate crisis, climate change, and the solutions you can affect in your own community and some exciting trainings that are coming up. I have a guest, Dr. Jairo Garcia, and we're going to be talking about that here in Atlanta, Georgia, and then all over the world, what we can do. But first, as you know, we open the show with a quote, and then, of course, I have a Peace Brain meditation at the end. So please stay tuned for that beautiful meditation at the end. So here we go. Let's get started. This quote that I picked for today is very appropriate, and it's actually from Dr. Albert Einstein. And it goes like this: a human being is a part of the whole, called by us universe, a part limited in time and space. He experiences himself, his thoughts, and feelings as separated from the rest, as a kind of optical delusion of his consciousness. This delusion is a kind of prison for us, restricting us to our personal desires and to affection for a few persons nearest to us. Our task must be to free ourselves from this prison by widening our circle of compassion to embrace all living creatures and the whole of nature in its bounty. Now, I really like this quote because we're talking today about how do we get in touch with the earth? How do we have our actions and our consciousness really reflect that whole earthly cycle, that whole, all of Earth and her creatures, her resources, and you know, it's ironic that we call it resources when we're talking about air, water, the trees, the very sustenance of life that we exist on. The earth is our home, and so how can we expand our consciousness to really include the earth and all of the things about her and the way that we, quote, use, unquote, her resources? So this is important to begin to think about widening your sphere of consciousness to be including not just your friends, your family, your work, your colleagues, your neighborhood, your city, or even your country, but that how do you impact this earth? How can we live sustainably, not only for ourselves, but for, of course, the future generations to come? So I really like this quote from Albert Einstein. This is the new consciousness that we need to bring to the earth. And I know many, many people are talking about this, both from the scientific viewpoint and from the metaphysical viewpoint, from spiritual viewpoint. I attended the World Parliament, the Parliament of World Religions in November 2018 in Toronto, where 8,500 people came from all over the world, from over 80 countries, to talk about how faith leaders can address climate change, can address the science that we have of our world changing, it getting hotter, it getting warmer, it getting drier in many areas or wetter in many areas, and what's affecting our lifestyle here as a human being on the planet. So it takes all of us, whether you're in a faith community or whether you're in a scientific community or whether you're in both, to come together and really address these issues of our climate, what many would say crisis, and it really is. It's our climate reality right at the moment. So with that, I really want to talk about my guest today, and I'm very excited to have him on the show. He is a professor. He's a scientist. He is, I'll read you his bio in just a moment. his name is Jairo Garcia, and he's here in Atlanta, Georgia, and we're here to talk about sustainable development and climate reality, and specifically the leadership training that's coming up in March 2019 here in Atlanta, Georgia, And there's also a training that's happening in Brisbane, Australia in June 2019, if you're on that side of the world. So let me read you the bio of Dr. Garcia. He is an expert in urban sustainability, climate change, and renewables. As the former director of climate policies and renewable with the City of Atlanta, Dr. Garcia wrote the first citywide sustainability report and the first climate action plan. He achieved for the city a nomination for the 100 Resilient Cities program with the Rockefeller Foundation and was instrumental in the adoption of the 100% Clean Energy Ordinance. Based on these achievements, Dr. Garcia received the Individual Climate Leadership Award by the EPA in 2007. Dr. Garcia holds an engineering degree, a master's in science in management of information technologies from Syracuse University, and a master's of science in sustainable management from Columbia University, and a doctoral degree in educational technology and sustainability from Pepperdine University. And presently, Dr. Garcia teaches sustainable urban development classes at the Georgia Institute of Technology here in Atlanta, Georgia. And he's also co-chair of the Climate Reality Project, the Atlanta, Georgia chapter. So welcome, Dr. Jairo Garcia, to the Pre-Sprain Show.
Hello, Gail. Thank you for having me, and hello, listeners.
I'm happy to have you here on the show. And, of course, we met not too long ago, just a couple weeks ago, from when I attended the Atlanta chapter of the Climate Reality Project. You are co-chair of that chapter. And we were talking about this training, and I know we'll get into it in detail because we want to encourage everyone on the show who's listening to actually apply for this training. It's free, and the deadline is January 28th, so I want to put that out there just at the moment. Let's just introduce that training for our listeners at the moment, and then I want to go into actually this climate action project that you did plan that you did for the City of Atlanta and explain a little bit more about that. But tell us, this Climate Reality Project, that is was set up by former President, Vice President Al Gore, I know at least 10 years ago, and you have taken the training, and now there's an Atlanta chapter as well as chapters, of course, all over the world, I'm sure, with this. But tell us a little bit more about why this training is important and why people should get excited about going to it.
Thank you again, Gail. And this training is extremely important because, as we all remember, Vice President Al Gore, he received the Nobel Peace Prize for his effort in making aware of people about the climate crisis. So Vice President Al Gore can empower to the United States to educate more and more people about this issue that is affecting us all right now. The climate crisis is not something for the future. The climate crisis is something that is happening right now. We just need to watch the news and see the devastation of the hurricanes, the storms, and the wildfires that is basically devastating our communities and our economy. And so basically the goal of this training is to educate and empower leaders about the risk of climate change. And the thing that makes me very excited about the session that we are going to have here in Atlanta is because it's going to be a focus and emphasis in environmental justice. As we all know, probably many of you know, the city of Atlanta is one of the worst cities in equity in the United States for 3 years in a row. So this training is going to help us educate ourselves how we can empower ourselves, how we can work together to address these issues. So I said it's going to be focusing on environmental justice and how the climate change presents tremendous risk for the southeast of the United States, specifically for vulnerable communities, and how fossil fuels are treating our health and our well-being for all Georgians and for all the Americans in that matter. We want to learn in that training how clean energy can be an important instrument to write, for instance, the historical injustice that have happened in Georgia for many decades. But also it's going to give us a view of how these new technologies, these clean technologies and clean energy is going to open opportunities for all of us. It's going to bring us a lot of economic development, plus health and growth for all of us. So I'm very excited about this opportunity. As a matter of fact, the topic, the name of this training is going to be called A Moral Call to Action on the Climate Crisis. So I'm very excited about that. And as you mentioned, Gail, this is a free training. So we please do not miss, and all of you, please do not miss this great opportunity to learn about these issues and connect with other people and empower yourself.
Wow, exactly. And it's interesting because there are so many avenues to talk about climate crisis. And, you know, this one, as you just said, is concentrating on environmental justice with the moral code to action. It's important to realize that I'm sure most people understand but may or may not be affected by it, that in these climate choices that we've been making with fossil fuels, it really is about impacting those communities that are underserved, that have either lower economic status or are in it is not, in other words, equality across the board, that this environmental justice is really a very, very important topic. And of course here in Atlanta, with when we talk about the populations with civil and human rights, we have the National Center for Civil and Human Rights here in Atlanta. And, of course, it's the home of Martin Luther King Jr. And all of the Civil Rights Act. And so we're talking here about human rights, human security, human justice, and having this really be a focus is very appropriate for Atlanta here, because that's the racial unity and environmental concerns are really top on the docket of what Atlanta is all about. Mm-hmm.
So exactly.
I know that. Go ahead.
Mm-hmm. I'm sorry. So absolutely, what you're saying is exactly what is happening in Atlanta. The other thing I want to mention is that in Georgia we have something that is called the energy burden, and energy burden means that people have to decide, specifically people that are economically challenging, have to decide between pay the electric bill or put food on the table.
Wow.
So we are in Georgia, and we are, Atlanta is the third worst city in the entire United States, the third worst city in the United States. So when the fossil fuel industry comes to people and telling that clean energy is expensive, that is not accurate. It cannot be more expensive than burning all the coal and gas. As a matter of fact, there is a report from the news organization that is called Environmental Scientists that find out that we burn in Georgia, we burn more than $2.3 billion in coal and gas plants, because we do not produce coal, we do not produce gas. So we bring that coal and gas from other states, and we burn it here to produce electricity when we can produce clean electricity from the sun and from the wind. That burning materials that has to be clean, has to be all the process consumes many, many resources and produces a lot of pollution, while we can have clean energy from the sun. We do have the technology. We do have the technology, and we do have the resources in Georgia to produce clean energy. But unfortunately, there are many people that are making a lot of money, not many, a few people, making tons of money by burning our economy. Just to give you an example how much money we burn in to produce electricity, that is the equivalent of the entire economy of the country that I was born in, South America, of Colombia. So we are burning the entire economy of a country, burning to produce electricity when we can produce clean energy produce jobs and a better future for us and for our future generations.
Wow. You just put it in perspective. Absolutely. Oh, my goodness. And it's very interesting because actually when one looks at the economics, and thank you for coming with numbers, I appreciate that. I haven't looked at all the numbers, and of course I am taking the training in March, so I'm sure I will obtain those facts and figures, and that's the beauty of this training. But when you look at it, the solar industry, for example, actually brings in more jobs and is better for the economy than the oil and gas and coal communities. It is, you know, so it's, there's a beautiful town in Texas, and I have forgotten the name. You may know this example, that actually, not to necessarily talk about politics at the moment, but it is a Republican town. It has a Republican mayor, and the mayor decided, because of economics, to switch the town completely over to solar energy and wind energy. And because it was economically not only more feasible and better for the city to do that for their expenses, but it also it provided more jobs for the actual residents. So it actually, when we look at it economically, it's switching to from these fossil fuels to these renewables is much better.
Exactly right. Like, for instance, here in Georgia, with all the pollution that those coal and gas plants produce, we had 200,000 kids with asthma in Georgia, 200,000 kids. Now, put it in perspective, when I don't know, probably our listeners or you know, when a kid has asthma, basically they cannot breathe. It's an emergency. So it's billions of dollars that we lose in economic development when those parents have to take a day off to take care of their kids. So think about all the implications just to make a few people rich. Is basically sacrificing not only our economy, but our health and our progress and our future.
So, Hario, how could we switch over? In other words, what would it look like for a city? I know Atlanta, I just went by a sign that is up on Peachtree Street that says we have 6.8 million people here in Atlanta. I was like, wow, okay, we're growing fast. So how does a city of that size or even a smaller city begin to switch from these fossil fuel technologies to the renewables?
So this is something, thank you again for the question, because this is exactly what we're going to learn in this training. So the first thing, just briefly, simplistic, put it in perspective, how we can do this is, first of all, make people realize about the problem and tell people, making conscious that these solutions are available. We do have the technology, and that technology is not more expensive than the fossil fuels. It's not true. We can produce electricity cheaper than we are producing right now, and better and cleaner. So once we know that, the next step is tell our citizens in something that we call democracy in this country to elect people, elect representatives that believe in climate change, that believe in a better future for us, and that believe that we can move to clean energy. It's important to have representatives and politicians in the state and at the national level that is going to work for us instead of working for the fossil fuels. When we have that power and we have the political power, then we can work with all of us, institutions like the Georgia Tech and many other institutions that are working and are capable to begin a massive installation of these kind of technologies. So that's the first step, is make people aware of the problem. The second people is empower them to elect representatives that work for them instead of working for the fossil fuel industry. And the following step is get the benefits that the clean energy is going to provide to all of us.
So how does one get the benefits of the clean energy?
Well, it's going to create millions of jobs all over the world. So there are two phases of moving to clean energy. So we're going to produce clean energy from the sun and the wind, right? But that energy, we have to value that energy and use it effectively. So we have to, parallel to that process to create energy, we have to do something that is called energy efficiency. So energy efficiency is to make the places where we live and the places that we work very efficient in the use of energy, that we don't waste energy when, for instance, during the summer, that the cool of our house is not getting out, or during the winter, that the warmer of the house is staying in and it doesn't go out. So we have to do something that is called retrofit. And imagine, Gail, all of us working, fixing our houses, fixing our buildings, fixing our installations to be more energy efficient. That will create millions and millions of jobs everywhere. So it's just one part of generation of clean energy. The other part is about make our buildings and homes and infrastructures more energy efficient. So the future is very promising. There is a lot of opportunity. It's the new revolution to move to the new clean energy technologies. But unfortunately, we have these powerful forces that they only care about their interests and the bottom line, and they don't care about our country or our people. And that's why we have to take action against them.
I understand. Obviously, we're talking, as I introduced at the beginning of the show, a moral code. As you said, it really is more about the ethics or the spirituality, the heart-to-heart compassion we need to have for our brothers and sisters of humanity and those who are possibly less fortunate than us, or certainly have turned to those, if we are the less fortunate, to, you know, where can we go to have a more just society? So with that said, if I wanted to retrofit my house, wanted to bring it into more energy efficiency, this is obviously going to cost money, but it is a possibly, obviously, down the road, a savings when you talk about energy efficiency. How does one go about, I guess, convincing the public to go ahead and spend the money now for a savings later? I know that's a huge question, because, you know, it's about priorities. What can I spend today? How can we put this in perspective that will really make a huge difference in the long run? Or so, maybe today, like with my child with asthma or something.
No, that's a wonderful question. Thank you for asking. So, again, this has to be a collective effort. And as I mentioned before, clean energy is cheaper. Clean energy is cheaper because we are not burning things. We don't have to explode, remove mountains to get the coal and burn it, or use a fracking contaminated water to extract gas. We are just looking at the sun. Imagine that. It's just so cheap that it is unreal. So we are saving right there, at the moment that we start to deploy clean energy, we are saving money. What about we use the money at the beginning, a portion of those savings, and we reinvest it in energy efficiency? So we do parallel to this, those two things. When we produce energy that is cheaper, we reuse the money, retrofit our houses. But when you retrofit our houses, it's just one short investment that we can pay with the savings at the beginning. And then, by then, when we finish paying those savings, after that, it's just all money going to us that we can enjoy, we can buy the things that we need, that we can send our kids to school, all the wonderful things, all the benefits that we're going to get after that. In order to do that, the government has a role in order to help our communities to move to new technologies. And there are many instruments, financial instruments, that many countries are using. When I say, for instance, Germany, last year I went to Germany to learn how Germany is moving ahead with clean energy. A few months ago, Germany is producing more clean energy than dirty energy, than fossil fuel energy, and is the first country to do that. And they are blooming. It's one of the most, their economic growth is one of the fastest in the world. So, and they are doing it with clean energy. And the government is helping using mechanisms, financial mechanisms to those families and to those industries to retrofit the buildings. There are many, many, many tools that are available that we can implement here in Georgia and here in the United States to help our communities move to that this green economy.
So really you're talking about government, let's say the city, the state, whatever, saving money on going from transitioning from fossil fuel use to clean energy use. And so they take some of that savings and use it as either tax credits or subsidies for residents then to retrofit houses and buildings, corporations, you know, to retrofit their buildings to be more energy efficient. So we're talking really about for a few years, those transitions, the government would be spending the same amount of money, but it would be helping down the road to make everything cheaper for the whole community, correct?
Correct. Yes, correct. This is just one instrument, but there are many, many others. For instance, in here in Atlanta, we try to pass something that is called PACE, the Property Assessment Clean Energy Program. And basically, the idea is that houses that are very efficient in the use of energy or produce clean energy, they tend to have better value in the market. So they are the increase in prices. So those increases, instead of going directly to the house, are reused to retrofit the house. So again, so you know that your house is going to cost more money, so we take that money that your house is going to increase and we're going to put it to retrofit your house. So it's called a PACE program. And that program has been very successful in many cities in the United States. And unfortunately, we are having some problems here in Atlanta and in Georgia, and it's because, again, there are a lot of interests that they want to keep the status quo and don't want to move to this new technology. So, but once all these mechanisms are, and this is just, again, two examples of how the government can help our communities and can help our citizens to move to transition smoothly to a clean energy future.
Exactly. I know for a while, and I think the time is up here in Atlanta, with December 2018, but they were offering, the government was offering solar credits, you know, if you were to put solar panels on your house, for both residential and commercial, actually, and really wonderful credits to, you know, in other words, it was a lot cheaper, you know, you would get money back if you were to put those panels
yes.
on your roof. I hope that continues
exactly.
in the future because that, you know, has gone away at the moment. I hope it comes back. But
I'm going to give you another example very quickly. Atlanta is doing something that is called the Solarize Program. Atlanta is doing something that is called the Solarize Program. And basically is that when you buy solar panels and it's just you, that would cost you a lot of money. But what about if you talk with your neighbors and you talk with a lot of people and you get this huge amount of people together, and then you go and ask a company and listen, instead of saying, listen, I want to put solar in my house, you said, we want to put solar in 200 houses. So because the economy scale, then it's going to be cheaper. The company is going to install those units at your house. They're going to give you cheaper because it's not just you. It's a lot of people. So that program is called the Solarize Program, and the city of Atlanta is deploying it right now. We had that program in many, many cities here in Georgia, including Decatur, Tad Island, and others. But that's another example of how working together we can reduce the cost to move to this new clean technology.
Exactly. So a couple of things come to mind. One is, you know, we're talking about this transition of human lifestyles from these fossil fuels that we've been using for eons. You know, I would say since the industrial age, 150 years or so, but it's really before that we've been using wood and coal and anything that humans can burn. But it's transitioning to these new technologies, and so we're talking about a change of lifestyles of just the general populace, but we're also talking about going from a typical where the economics of, you know, my bottom line needs to be the highest dollar amount that I can for my company, to corruption and greed and all of those wonderful things that are going on, of course, in every country of the world, changing from that to a moral attitude to appreciate our fellow human beings and make the planet sustainable for future generations, for my children and grandchildren and their children. It's a mindset set shift. So what has the climate reality leadership training sort of prescribed, or what have you in your studies come across that will help people make that mind shift?
So we're going to learn that even though we've been talking about the economics, how clean energy is going to reduce our cost of electricity and going to make our houses more efficient, the amount of jobs that we're going to create, we are not going to burn dollars. We're not going to burn dollars, because when you have the sun, you are not burning anything. But it's not just that. It's that because we are burning so many of those materials, we are destroying our planet. And the planet is letting us know. The planet is letting us know that something is wrong. And we see the intensity of hurricanes and the intensity of typhoons and the intensity of the droughts and the intensity of the rains and the intensity of the wildfires. Basically, it's the earth is telling us that something is really, really wrong. And there are scientists, hundreds of thousands of scientists, more than 98% of the scientific community, and I have to say the other 2% is because I've been paid by the fossil fuels. But the huge majority of the scientific community agree that we keep burning at the pace that we are doing right now, we are not going to have the same earth that we are living right now. It's going to be full of deserts. It's going to be full of floods everywhere. The sea level is rising, so they're going to destroy entire cities, including Miami, including New York. Many, many other cities around the world are going to be impacted. And it's just a look at the news and see what happened with Katrina, what happened with Storm Michael, with Irma, with Sandy. Just look back and see the destruction that we are causing by burning materials that we don't have to when the technology is available. So this training is going to open our eyes that what the scientific community put in graphics and numbers, we're going to visually see the suffering that we are causing if we continue with this fossil fuel industry. It's our beautiful planet. We don't have other place to live. We are destroying it by not moving quickly to the new technology. There is a report last year from the IPCC, which is the international organization that basically read scientific articles around the world about climate change, that our window is very, very, very small. We have 12 years to change our ways, 12 years to make a radical change in the way we live. Otherwise, the impact for our lives, for us that we're going to be here, and for our kids, are going to be extremely catastrophic. Basically, we are creating heaven, that is the earth, into hell by just don't mobilizing, don't being aware of the problem, and keep electing those politicians, corrupt politicians that are destroying our planet, destroying our future, destroying our communities, destroying all that we dare. We have to take action. And this event, this climate reality training is going to open our eyes. But more importantly, it's going to empower us to go to our communities, to go to our leaders, to go to our representatives, and speak for us, for our children, for our future, for our earth. So this is a moral imperative that we need to take action now. And it's not me saying that, and it's not Al Gore saying this. It's 98% of the scientific community. We have to mobilize. We have to change. This is an imperative. This is the biggest challenge of humanity. It's not terrorists. It's not immigrants. That is not true. Climate change is the largest risk of humanity. Even the Pentagon, the Pentagon knows that the largest threat for the United States are not immigrants, are not terrorists from other countries, is climate change. So it's up to us to address this issue. Before yesterday, there was, in all the news that the scientists found that the Arctic is melting at twice the speed that they thought last year, So it's just an imperative that we had to take action right now to save our home, our children, our future. And it's now.
So let me jump in for just a moment, because I realized I did not give our listeners the website to go to look up this training, and it's climaterealityproject.org. And you go to climaterealityproject.org, and you then click on apply to our next training, and then you'll see the Atlanta training there that's going to be March 14th through 16th, 2019. And there's a green button that says apply by January 28th. And click on that green button and you'll get the form to fill out. There is a form, an application to fill out, but as we said, the training is free. And it is just about you getting to Atlanta and, you know, of course, paying for your stay here. But the training, which is 3 days and includes meals, you know, is all free for anyone who wants to attend. From anywhere in the world. So go to climaterealityproject.org to fill out that that form and come in March to Atlanta. You brought up a few things, and I know I'm really happy that this particular session of the leadership training, and I know each one of them has its own theme. For example, the Climate Reality 24-hour project that was done back in December online was concentrated on the health. You mentioned asthma of children, you know, really being affected by the climate change, the climate crisis of the fossil fuels. But each one has its own theme. The climate change and climate crisis is affecting us in many, many ways. But here we're talking about the moral code, and it is an environmental justice. It's important for us to wake up, and I want to mention something. You mentioned about the ice melting in Antarctica twice as fast as it was last year. My goodness, there was a gentleman from Greenland at the Parliament of World Religions who was talking about climate change, and he was saying in his 71 years, he's seen so much ice melt in Greenland. It is catastrophic there of the amount of ice that is melted in his lifetime. And he made the point, though, then he changed his speech from that focus to wherever he's been in the world, giving his talks, talking about the indigenous communities, because he's from an indigenous nation. And no one greets him. He was pointing out that when he goes into airports, when he goes to different places, he's not greeted. People don't ask who he is or what his name is or how they can help him. And he said it is about this melting ice in Greenland and melting ice all over the world that we are concerned with. But more importantly, it's about melting the ice in the human heart. And I think that's what we're talking about here, is the shift in consciousness of we can't just keep thinking about ourselves and our family. Going back to the quote of Einstein that I opened the show with, you know, it's not about our small circle of friends or influence. It's now about the whole world, because this is our home, and the earth is our home, and suddenly we need to step up and care about people in another community that maybe I don't know or don't see, or that's not my same, you know, color of skin or my same economic status. But we need to start caring about that and change our ways of doing business and our ways of getting to know each other and realizing we're all in this together, because planet Earth is our boat, our home, and we need, you mentioned we have 12 years to 2030. Of course, it's 2019 now, not 2018, so really it's a little over, you know, it's still 12, but it's really 11 years. So yes. 2030, the scientists say, we may reach we are predicted to reach the heating of the Earth so much at that point. We've already gone up 1 degree centigrade, but if we go up a degree and a half or 2 degrees centigrade, and we don't get the carbon neutral at that point, it's out of control. So could you explain that a little bit more?
Yes, absolutely. As a matter of fact, the report from the IPCC mentioned that at 2 degrees, basically, it's not going to be the Earth that we know right now. It's going to be totally different. It's not the Earth that we know right now, 2 degrees. So the limit is 1.5. That's the maximum. And now, for the people that say that 1.5 or 2 degrees is not that much, I want to remind you about, you know, for those who have kids, and then generally kids, somehow they got sick and they have fever. And usually the temperature in our body is around 98 degrees, 99 degrees. And then you put a thermometer in your kid. And then when the temperature point 100, that is 1 degree or 1.2 degrees, 100, then you know that something is wrong. I mean, let me tell you something. When the child gets 100.5, then you have to take the kid immediately to the hospital because they're going to start to shake and convulse, and it's to the risk of death. And at 1.1 or 1.15, basically, the risk of death is extreme. So think about those 2 degrees. Think about how important they are. And for nature, it's exactly the same way. Even though we are more tolerant for changes in temperatures, the majority of nature doesn't operate in that way. And as a matter of fact, there are trees that are not growing anymore in Georgia because in Atlanta because it's getting too hot. And so for nature, for instance, the coral reefs in the oceans, a little change in temperature basically the collapse of the entire coral reef. And basically, it's just ecological systems that are collapsing in front of our eyes because of the change in temperature. So it's critical. Basically, right now, literally speaking, the Earth is in fever. It's on fever. And if the temperature keeps growing because we keep burning things that we don't need to, eventually we're going to kill ourselves. Killing the planet is killing ourselves. And that's exactly what, it's not just me saying that, it's just the entire scientific community telling us the emergency of this, that we have to take action now. We cannot wait. We have to change. And the thing that people have to understand is that it's just not saving. I mean, it's wonderful to think about the planet. I love my planet. I want to work on it. But it's about all of us, that eventually climate change is going to affect us all. The climate change is not just affect California or the Keys or Florida. It's affecting us all. I remember in 2007 when we had this drought in Atlanta, perhaps everybody forgot about that, the crisis that we had with water, that it was to the point that leaders, they were thinking to evacuate Atlanta because we are running out of water. Think about that. Think about that stream. And then the social collapse that is causing, people have to migrate because they are being displaced by climate change. The crisis in Central America is not because people are mean. Those people are being displaced by climate change, and they're trying to find another place to live. The problem that they have in Europe with the immigration crisis from Syria is because Syria has the worst drought ever that displaced millions of people from the rural areas to Europe. So it's causing a lot of social crisis all over the world. And they are telling us, the scientists are telling us every day that. So we have to pay attention and take action now. And this training isn't about to making people afraid or anything. It's about open their eyes by empower us. Give us power to go to our communities and take action. So, and this theme about the moral imperative, I truly believe that is just perfect for a state that is having so many problems with environmental injustice and energy burden.
Well, and to validate what you say, there was a speech, again, at this parliament from a faith leader in Cape Town, South Africa, who gave this amazing speech about Cape Town's Day Zero that happened last or was going to happen March in 2018. And they were saying the city was predicting on April 22nd, 2018, they would have no water. The taps would be turned off, and all of the residences and buildings in the entire city of Cape Town, which is 3 million people. And so the city had to figure out how to economize, how to save. They actually, within all of the social media and the different suggestions, they learned how to, as she said, shampoo with dry shampoo, to take a shower in a minute, to use the water from the washing machine to wash the floor and then to put on the garden. And Cape Town reduced its water use by 50%, and so they kept pushing day zero back until finally the rains came, the winter rains came, and relieved them of that day zero. But as she said, day zero is coming for us all. There's at least 10 major cities in the world, like Beijing, that are facing day zero, and it's actually coming for us all. So this is, you're correct, going to affect all of us, or is affecting all of us now. And so it is about us, our collective will of getting together, and both individually and collectively working together. So again, I want to give that website for anyone interested. Please come and tell your friends, your community, come in mass to learn the scientific facts and to learn the solutions to this climate crisis at this climate reality leadership training that's happening in Atlanta on March 14th through 16th, those 3 days in 2019, this year. And you can go to climaterealityproject.org and sign up for that new training, the next training. And, of course, if you're over in the other side of the world from the United States, over in Australia, is easier for you to get to. There's a training in June in Brisbane as well. And so keep, you know, please keep checking back at that. And you have till January 28th to come and apply to the March training in Atlanta at climaterealityproject.org. We're getting toward the end of the show, Jairo. I want you to thank you. You've put this in beautifully together of how it does affect all of us. And, of course, environmental justice is really something that we, as I said, this moral imperative, we need to make this mind shift to help out our fellow man, not just have it be economics that rules the roost, but really about justice. So please kind of sum up, or what would you like to say to our listeners before we go into the Peace Brain Meditation?
One, I want to say also that because this is a moral call, there is a lot of faith leaders that are going to be at this event. It's going to have this interfaith mass at the Ebenezer Baptist Church during the 1 of the days of the training. So this is a call for all of us, from all the faiths, all the creeds, everything that we truly believe. We need us all. The climate crisis needs us all. So this is an opportunity to show our best of humanity, show how we have a high standards of morals for us, for our families, for our neighbor, for the planet. So thank you for the opportunity, and please join us. Join us in March.
Well, thank you for that. And I want to also point out that when one takes the training, you not only have the facts and the PowerPoints you can use to go back to tell your community, but there's also chapters. And I know we have one here in Atlanta that you're, as I said, co-chair of, but it's chapters all over the world, right? So there's a support system going forward. Kind of go over what's after the training, in other words, what people can receive support from.
Thank you. Mm-hmm. Yeah, thank you for mentioning that. So, well, I received the training in Los Angeles, and when I was there, people from all over the world, and they were talking about the chapters in London, the chapters in Spain and France, chapters everywhere. And I asked, what is the Atlanta chapter? And we don't have a chapter. It's like, oh, what? So luckily, we again, that's the good thing about this training, is that you're going to meet people that live close to you, that they can help you. So our group from Atlanta, we got together and we said we had to create this chapter in Atlanta. And so when we came back to Atlanta, we created this chapter, and this is an amazing group of people. You have the opportunity to go to meet us one time. It's incredible people that are dedicated to do this. They work on all the disciplines, but they want to dedicate their son of their time to work for the planet. So, and then when we get together, we come up with great ideas. We come up also with activities that we can empower ourselves, because we need each other. And so for those people that are in Georgia that can come here, if you live in Atlanta, welcome to join our chapter. Again, all this, all free, is everything free. But join us and let's work together. But from cities in other parts of Georgia, to create chapters over there and then empower other people to join you, because we need support. We need each other, and this chapter helps us to do that. Chapters are totally independent. So even though, you know, we like to report what we are doing, but they never tell us what to do. We have to come up with our solutions, because each community have their own problems, their own issues. So each chapter come up with ideas, how we're going to address the problem of the climate crisis in our community, how we don't educate our people, and how we're going to empower our people. So it's a great opportunity to collaborate, to learn, and to join together to confront this crisis.
Excellent. So you're not alone. In other words, when you go to this training, you have support afterwards. And how to then go back and talk to your community and actually take action in various ways that will work with your in particular community. So thank you so much.
All right.
Thank you, Dr. Jairo Garcia, for coming on the Peace Brain Show. I truly appreciate it today.
Thank you, Gail. Thank you for inviting me, and thank you for the listeners.
Oh, you're very welcome. What an amazing topic to cover. So, everyone, I want to move into our Peace Brain meditation for the end of the show. So just take a breath for a moment. It's very important to center yourself, to become conscious. Just be here in the present moment. You can close your eyes or not. It's up to you. I invite you to create a grounding cord, as we do in most of these shows, these meditations, which is an energetic connection between the base of your spine and the center of the earth. I like to envision a beam of light, or maybe a tree trunk, tree roots coming out of the base of my spine, going all the way down into the iron crystal core of Mother Earth. Be connected to her and say hello. You know, just send an energetic hello to the earth. We're talking about, if you will, saving the earth. We're talking about how do we become one with Mother Earth, with the planet. And, of course, we physically are one with the earth. We forget about that, that our bodies are dependent on her food, her light, her air, her water. So say hello and send gratitude to Mother Earth. She is trying to wake us up. She's showing us in all of these different crises that are happening that we hear in the news that something is wrong, that she is in fever, that she is sick. And we are too. So begin to show gratitude. That's the first step. And just feel that gratitude, not only in yourself, but from her, for being aware, for waking up, for caring. And now visualize your beautiful community, your home, your place of business, and begin to see it as changing, as becoming even better, even more in tune with Mother Earth. She can help you find these solutions. She's already given us solar energy and wind energy and water energy. She knows the way to harmonize with nature, to harmonize with her essence, that we can have our communities live in harmony with the earth. So begin to see how you can upgrade, retrofit, change, improve your house, your buildings, your community, your streams, to be in harmony with Mother Earth. Think of the things that you could do. And then know if you had support of others, such as from this Climate Reality Project, to assist you, how much easier it could be. So begin to realize that our children need these places in nature. See your child running in the fields, running in the sunlight, playing in the gardens. And know that our cities can also become these places of gardens and peace. See the parks and the clean air and the food growing hydroponically or growing even in your buildings, your corporate buildings, to feed the residents there, the workers there. See that we are working together to improve our transportation systems, our education systems, all of our economy, switching over to this clean energy where we have plenty of water and clean air and health for not only your children and yourself, but for the whole community, so that our healthcare system changes for the better, to not just treat systems, but provide well-being. Visualize this new earth that is so possible, that we already have solutions for, that we can implement today, and that we have no time to waste. So take a breath and visualize yourself actually in this new earth of prosperity and well-being, this new way of living that is in harmony with not only the earth, but with each other as human beings. And take a breath and know that you are part of the solution and that you can do this. You're not alone. So take a breath and realize maybe just what is your next step. And perhaps it is to come to take the training, or perhaps it's just to tell a friend or to take some action for yourself. But I invite you to put that on your calendar, to put that on your to-do list, and to actually take action today. So again, send gratitude to Mother Earth and that vision of her healthy and humanity healthy and just. And then open your eyes and be present. Come back to the room. Thank you so much. And if you want to sign up for the training, please do. The application deadline is January 28th for this March 14th, 16th through 16th training in Atlanta, Georgia, United States. And go to climaterealityproject.org and sign up to the next training. Hit the green button on the Atlanta training and you can fill out the form. It's all free. You just have to get here and pay for your hotel or your stay. But the training itself, the 3 days, is free. And you can bring it back to your community, wherever you are in the world, and help others achieve this beautiful vision of Mother Earth. So again, I want to thank my guest, Dr. Jairo Garcia, for coming on the show today. You can find out more about him at AtlantaClimateActionPlan.wordpress.com. And some of the work he's doing. He's also a professor at Georgia Institute of Technology here in Atlanta, Georgia, United States. So you can find out more about him there. If you want to find out more about me, Dr. Gail Lash, and how we can help you choose peace and create these peace parks where we can have community dialogue about peaceful solutions, including climate solutions, please go to our website at tourismforpeace.com, or you can email me at hello@peacebrain.org. So please go to climaterealityproject.org and sign up. And also activate your peace brain and put your peace park on our World Peace Trails map. Thank you for tuning into the Peace Brain Show today. Many, many blessings. Namaste. Bye-bye.
Thank you for joining us on the Peace Brain Show. You can find us at tourismforpeace.com. Be sure to check out Dr. Gail's Akashic Records readings, her peace plans for your business or organization, and her recently published book, Opt for Peace, 9 Essential Steps to Achieving Peace, Power, and Prosperity. Tune in to BBS Radio Station 1 every other Tuesday at 5 p.m. Pacific and 8 p.m. Eastern to the Peace Brain Show for your next installment of wonder, inspiration, and practical peace.